So I should give you a little background on the building, which will tell you why the history of it is so fascinating. The project began in 1828 when the land was donated to become a church. And a man named Squire Philly lived in the house next door. The house next door is still there. And he donated the land, and the church was built by townspeople. So they literally took the lumber from their land, and it was hand-hewn and built the structure. There's 1,000 pieces of leaded glass that they put into the windows to make Gothic structured windows. So all of it was done by hand over from like 1828 to it was consecrated in 1832. It was used as a church, an Episcopal church, most of the time, but by 2016, it really wasn't being used very much. And the diocese in Boston had decided that it would be closed, and there was fear that it was going to be torn down and become a parking lot, something like that. So the Otis Historic Commission was kind of faltering. There was no Otis Preservation Trust at that time. But in 2016, the friend of mine that got me involved and another person, Diane Provance, put together a committee to try to save the church. And the best way was to reformulate the Otis Historical Commission, make it active, and began to bring people into the Otis Historical Commission to save the building. And at that point, it was just to save the building. But then they realized they need to raise money, so they formulated Otis Preservation Trust, which would be the nonprofit arm to help raise money. So we're sort of attached at the hip and work arm in arm and work together. I'm kind of more on the architecture building side, where Stephanie, who spoke to, is more on the fundraising side. There's several other important, interesting historic things about the building, which I sent you some pictures of. One of the things was that there was a pastor from Lenox who happened to be at Old North Church in about 1830 when Old North Church in Boston was being renovated. And they pitched all the old stuff out into the yard. And this pastor came by. I don't know if I have his name offhand. No. Reverend Parker of Lenox saw all these things being tossed, and one of them was a pulpit that Paul Revere had stood at. That was from the time of Paul Revere. So he said, "Oh, can we have that?" And they said, "Yeah, we're getting rid of it." Then there was two chandeliers that a pirate named Grucci had smuggled through a tunnel to Old North back in the 18th century, and it was one of the things tossed out in the yard. He said, "Can I have that?" And they said, "Yeah." He goes, "I'll take one of them." So he took that, he took the pulpit, he took a few other things from Old North Church. And then one more really critical thing that we have in there is we have this organ, which is it's before electricity. So it's a manual organ with four stops, and it was made by Franklin Whiting, who was the leading organ maker. He didn't make a lot of organs. You know, it's like having a Stradivarius violin. And he died of smallpox right after he made our organ. So ours is the last organ and one of the few remaining organs that exists. So obviously, we hope to have a lot of organ concerts. Right now, it's in Springfield. It's been restored so that when we finish the building, the organ will come back to the church, along with the other things that are now being stored in Boston that we still have to get back from them, which we will, and then put it all together. So we have all these historic objects, plus the building itself, which Bishop Alexander Hamilton Vinto said that it was one of the best examples of his New England Carpenter Gothic. And he wrote, and this is a quote, "It should be as prized as St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York."